going to leave you with the interview that I had yesterday with Lawrence Kelson. The interview is in English, and I will be back for our Spanish listeners with a summary of that interview. So, as I had mentioned earlier, Lawrence Kelson is an artist who has recently composed music in dedication of the 43 students that were abducted and disappeared in Ayotzinapa on September 26th, 2014. And so he speaks a little bit about that there. I'm going to play that interview for you. Así que Lawrence Kelson, les cuento nuevamente que es el compañero que les mencionaba, un artista, compositor que vive aquí en Vancouver y quien ha compuesto alguna música en dedicación para los 43 normalistas desaparecidos en Ayotzinapa. Así que después del audio en inglés, les regreso con una... con un resumen al español. Los dejo con Lawrence. Good afternoon. We are talking now with Lawrence Kelson here on America Latina al Día, bringing you the voices of change. Lawrence, can you tell me a little bit about your art? I understand that you're an artist. You are from London.
I am. Well, I'm actually from the south of England, about an hour south of London. But I went to London to study art at Chelsea, which is actually quite a prestigious art school. I had an amazing experience there in the mid-80s, and I became a printmaker. But then many years later, I wasn't doing any art, but I discovered music with the movement forward with the digital age of music recording. It became very practical to be able to work from home, you know, in these really high quality studios, which are a fraction of the cost that they were, say, 20, 30 years before. So it's opened up a whole range of scope for creativity for people. Mm-hmm. And that's really where it began.
Okay, and are you doing some of that work right now here in Vancouver, or what's your most recent work?
Yeah, I have been. Not so much the last few months, because I was hit with a surprise tax bill in Canada. Oh. And so I have been having to work as a barista and just like slave away making coffee for people at some ungodly hour in the morning. But yeah, I'm moving back to London in a few months, and I'll certainly endeavour to carry on with it. But yeah, since I've been in Vancouver, which is about four and a half years now, most of that time has been spent in a very focused way on developing my compositional skills. And I have a website where people can listen to music and poetry and stuff.
So. And what is the website?
It's lawrencekelson.com. Very easy.
Oh, that's perfect. We'll be playing some of that music later on the program as well.
Great.
And I understand that you have also composed something regarding the Mexican 43 student teachers that were disappeared almost 3 years ago. Their anniversary is coming up
on September 26th. Yeah. My partner and I were in Mexico. We flew to Cancun in the middle of October. And we rented a car and then spent 4 weeks driving around Mexico, up as far as Mexico City, across to Pátzcuaro for the Day of the Dead festival, and then down to Oaxaca. And we were picking up snippets of news. Neither of us speak Spanish, unfortunately, so we weren't really sure what was going on, but it looked pretty serious. You know, we kept seeing 43 and Nosfalta and all this kind of stuff, not really understanding what was going on. But when we got to Oaxaca, which is a gorgeous city, we were exploring one of the many fantastic art galleries there, and we heard some very animated speaking through a loudspeaker. And so we rushed out to see what was going on, and it was a student demonstration. And from that, we began to glean what had actually happened. And they were calling out the names of the missing students, and counting from 1 to 43, and it was a very moving experience, actually. And fortunately I had a little handheld digital Eddie Roll recorder, so I managed to record lots of the students chanting, and we took lots of photographs, and I was determined to write something about it when I got back, and certainly when we got back to Vancouver, we were able to research much more about what had happened or what was thought to have happened on that fateful night. I was busy with other projects, so it's probably almost about 10 months later that I sat down and thought, right, let's start to get something down. And some of the main motifs and parts of the piece came very quickly. And go.
And I wanted to ask you, had you ever seen something like that before, or did you know that forced disappearances is something that occurs very commonly, unfortunately, in Latin America and the Caribbean?
Not at all. This is a real eye-opener. I mean, I've lived a very cosseted experience growing up in the UK and equally in Canada. They're both very safe countries in that sense. Mm-hmm. So yes, it was really shocking to sort of to really learn about the scope and the scale of what goes on, and the sort of the complicity of governments and forces and the police, that kind of, you know, this very shady kind of murky underworld kind of marriage that takes place really between those forces. And it was quite a powerful experience to be to confront those kind of realities really.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's why art is such an important vehicle, or culture can transform realities.
Absolutely. And that's what was very apparent when we were in Oaxaca. The art that was being made there and being shown had real bite, had real political... It really had something to say, something quite profound. And it took me back to what I'd studied at art school, of the work in the 1930s in parts of Europe, especially in Germany and Berlin, when art had real relevance, and that really seemed to sing through to me in Oaxaca. And there was sort of these little really amazing kind of old printmaking studios where these old printmaking presses, and these guys were really churning out the work, and then the posters would go up on the walls, and art doing what it's meant to do in a way, and artists really being engaged. You know, this wasn't pretty stuff to hang on your wall. This was serving a purpose. And that, to me, was very exciting.
Mm-hmm. And now when you return to London, are you thinking about putting that experience or that those lessons in the printing back in the works?
Oh, possibly. I mean, I haven't done any visual art for many, many years, but, I've recently... got back in touch with some people that I was studying with, so maybe that will inspire me to sort of get back to printmaking again. I'd like to see what comes through after this time away. Something relevant and something with meaning, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I understand that the family members of the 43 student teachers that were disappeared, have they heard the music that you have been composing and dedicated to the 43, or...?
I'm not aware that they have. I mean, I've made this piece of music as a fundraiser, but it's very hard to get it out there, so it's great to be... Thank you so much for inviting me on, so maybe people will actually then download it and purchase it, and it's more funds that I want to be able to send to the school.
Tell me a little bit more about that. I can find this on your website, right? LawrenceKelson.com?
Yeah, and it's a secure site, so it goes into a PayPal account, and then I will take off, and all the proceeds will go to the rural teacher training school, the Raúl Isidro Burgos School in Atsinapa, where the 43 had been attending. That's my aim. I mean, I haven't sent anything off yet, because I'm still trying to get some money in, and it's a little bit slow at the moment, but it's just getting it out there. So anyone who's listening who hears it and wants to share it in whatever format, I'm really up for that. So
that's really great. Cool. Yeah, I think it's a really great effort. Sometimes when here on the program we have spoken about the 43 disappeared in Mexico, we often speak about just like the politics end of it, or what has the government done or not done. But there's so many different angles to this. There's other perspectives of how to approach the problematic. And absolutely, standing in solidarity through music is such an important part.
Absolutely. There was, as I started putting the music together, as I say, the motifs came quite quickly. And my partner and I went to see a film. It was one of the, there's quite a few films that have been made about the missing 43 and the other missing incidences in Latin America. And I met with Daniel Mendoza and his partner Ingrid after the film, who were part of a solidarity group for Ayotzinapa, and they then contacted me afterwards. I left my details, and they asked me if I'd like to write a soundtrack for a film that they were being made. So it's just a short film made by two young filmmakers from Mexico City who are studying here, Patricio Cartas and Oscar Flores. And so it's about a 6-7 minute film, and the music seemed to marry perfectly with it. It went really well. So and the film's really just about, it centers around some interviews of people in Vancouver who are standing in solidarity with the missing 43 nights in Napa. And yeah, it's a great little movie, and again that's on the website, so people can see it.
Yeah, definitely we'll guide people to the website today for the interview, but also, you know, during other shows that we're going to be having here. Yeah, okay. No, thank you for making that art and being in solidarity. You know, forced disappearances in all of Latin America and the Caribbean have been practiced since the late 1950s. It began in Guatemala and then began to be practiced in other parts of around the world, really.
Sure.
And then also brings light to the fact that in Vancouver and in British Columbia or Canada even, there's also the problematic of indigenous girls and women that have also been abducted and forcibly disappeared, which is, for me at least, when I began to learn about that, it was quite shocking because I didn't believe it. I couldn't understand. You know, I always had the idea about Canada being a much safer place where these kinds of things wouldn't happen. And as a daughter of a woman that was disappeared, I have some of my uncles that were also disappeared during the war in Guatemala. I can see that happening there. And so, you know, for something such a painful crime that continues to go on every single day until that person appears, it was really sad and shocking and... you know, all these kinds of feelings to find that that also happens here or has happened here. And I think we're only, as a Canadian society, beginning to talk a little bit more about it and to confront that reality that, you know, happens here as well.
Sure. I mean, there are some encouraging signs, as you say, but it was likewise when I discovered, you know, Canada seems this very liberal kind of, and in lots of ways it is, but it also masks a kind of a rather dark and gruesome past in a way, and is, you know, that carries on, that's carrying on, as you say, with the forced disappearances of the women and stuff. What's great with the IOTC 68 solidarity group that helped engineer the kind of film, really, and the coming together with the music, they've really sort of moved into sort of it's more or less a solidarity group for all indigenous cultures, and that's great. Whenever you attend a meeting, there's people from all over the world that are standing up, and a lot of it is actually really positive as well. There's real encouraging signs that there is this kind of, people are standing together now, and there is that out of all the horror.
Eso es nuestra entrevista que tuvimos con Lawrence Kelsen. Les voy a dar ahora un resumen en el español de esa pequeña entrevista que tuvimos con él, y luego les comparto esa pieza, esa composición musical, la cual le está sirviendo a Lawrence poder recaudar fondos para enviarlo precisamente al Instituto Normalista Rural de Ayotzinapa, donde eran estudiantes los 43 normalistas. Y pues empezamos a... Lawrence nos empezó a compartir cómo él es de Inglaterra y que estudió arte en la Escuela de Arte de Chelsea, y que más adelante, con el tiempo, pues descubrió la música, en especial la composición musical, utilizando los medios digitales. Él ha estado en Vancouver en los últimos 4 años y hace 3 años visitó México con su pareja, y también en Cancún, en Oaxaca. Dice que durante ese viaje lográbamos captar algunos mensajes y noticias de algo que sucedía. Veíamos algo sobre 43, pintas que decían nos faltan, sin comprender muy bien de qué se trataba, hasta que llegamos a la bella ciudad de Oaxaca. Y mientras... visitaban una de las galerías de arte que están ahí, dice Lawrence, escuchábamos consignas y una marcha muy animada en las calles, así que salimos a ver qué es lo que sucedía, y resultó ser una marcha estudiantil. A partir de ahí logramos comprender un poco mejor qué es lo que había sucedido con el secuestro y la desaparición forzada de los 43 normalistas. Durante la marcha, dice, escuchábamos cómo los estudiantes llamaban cada uno de los nombres de los 43 normalistas o contaban del número de 1 a 43, y que para él pues fue una experiencia bastante profunda. Afortunadamente tenían con ellos una grabadora y dice, tuve oportunidad de grabar algunos audios y de tomar fotografías. Ahí fue donde me nació la determinación de escribir algo al respecto y conocer mucho más de lo que estaba sucediendo. Dice Lawrence, me llevó varios meses escribir y que la forma, la idea, digamos, tomara forma, pero resultó que en esta composición yo le pregunté si las desapariciones forzadas o este tipo de represión era algo que él sabía que ocurría en América Latina y el Caribe, y a lo que Lawrence dijo que no, que para nada él sabía, digamos, que este tipo de cosas podían suceder, que él pues había vivido y crecido en un ambiente bastante tranquilo, como lo es Inglaterra o Canadá, relativamente son países seguros, dice, y que fue impactante conocer de que esto podía suceder, sobre todo por la complicidad que existe entre los gobiernos y las fuerzas policiales de encubrir, digamos, este tipo de hechos, que fue una experiencia bastante fuerte poder confrontar esas ambas realidades y pues utilizar el arte para poder traer alguna especie de cambio o de solidaridad. También dijo de que en Oaxaca, como estuvieron visitando los diferentes galerías de arte, etcétera, él habiendo estudiado grabado, pues pudo observar esos viejos talleres de grabado donde habían unos viejos artistas, digamos, sudando bajo la imprenta, ¿verdad? Haciendo series de dibujos, series de arte, pero que ese arte tenía una picadura, dice él. Era un arte que tenía un verdadero sentido político y un mensaje muy profundo para el público, y que le hizo recordar pues algo que de lo que había estudiado sobre el arte en algunas partes de Europa, particularmente Berlín, en Alemania, donde ese arte tenía una relevancia a lo que sucedía en el contexto de ese momento histórico. Y pues ese arte estaba ahí cumpliendo su papel en Oaxaca durante este contexto de los 43 desaparecidos, y estaba ahí para hacer una transformación. Así que eso fue lo que más le inspiró, y compuso esta pieza musical dedicada a los 43 normalistas secuestrados y desaparecidos en Ayotzinapa como una forma para recaudar fondos para el Instituto Rural Normalista. Y pues se los voy a compartir ahora. También tengo que mencionarles de que Lawrence Kelsen tiene una página de internet que es lawrencekelsen.com, y eso se escribe LAWRENCEKELSON.com, y ahí pueden acceder a más información sobre esta pieza musical, pero también donde pueden, digamos, comprar el archivo de audio para poder recaudar fondos de esa manera, y que el instituto allá en México lo puedan recibir. También platicamos sobre las desapariciones forzadas de niñas y mujeres aborígenes en Canadá, y Lawrence también mencionó que aunque en Canadá pues se vive en una sociedad más o menos liberal comparado a otras, también se reconoce que tiene un pasado bastante oscuro en cuanto a la población aborigen, y por eso es de que era tan importante poder estar también en solidaridad con los 43 normalistas, pues el aspecto de el hecho de que esta escuela normalista, muchos de los estudiantes eran indígenas, que el currículum era indígena, que ellos iban a volver a sus comunidades indígenas, hacer valer ese derecho a la educación pública con pertinencia cultural, pues hace el crimen mucho más impactante. Y también pues llamó a que además de eso se han visto, digamos, diferentes expresiones de solidaridad con las comunidades en Ayotzinapa, y que también era muy bonito, digamos, una experiencia muy linda, digamos, ver a diferentes personas de diferentes partes del mundo en solidaridad y hablando de temas de los pueblos indígenas. Así que por ahora los dejo con esa pieza musical y ya volvemos con más aquí en América Latina al Día, trayéndoles las voces del cambio. And that finishes the Spanish summary of the interview that we had with Lawrence Kelson. Again, you can visit his webpage at lawrencekelson.com. And I'm going to leave you now with that piece of music, and we'll come back with a little bit more of interviews. That was the beautiful composition by Lawrence Kelson. You can find more information about this wonderful artist who lives here in Vancouver at lawrencekelson.com. The music was composed by Lawrence Kelson and mastered by Simon Hayworth at Super Audio Mastering. And please visit the site and participate in the fundraiser if you know if it's in your possibilities, or tell other people about it. Y eso fue la bella composición de Lawrence Kelson. Pueden visitar su página y ahí pues hacer sus contribuciones para la el Instituto Rural de Ayotzinapa, de donde pertenecían los 43 estudiantes normalistas que han sido desaparecidos casi hace 3 años. La página es lawrencekelson.com. Fue compuesta por este artista y también masterizada por Simon Hayworth en el Super Audio Mastering. Y ya son las 12:58. Usted continúa escuchando América Latina al Día, trayéndoles las voces del cambio. Y ahora les traigo una entrevista con la maestra costarricense María Trejos Montero. Ella pertenece a la red de investigación de la red CEPA y al colectivo de solidaridad con el MEU-UNA, que es el Movimiento Estudiantil Universitario de la Universidad Nacional Autónoma de Honduras, que nos platica sobre la situación estudiantil y de la huelga estudiantil ahí en Honduras. Y luego volveré con un resumen, esta vez al inglés. So that gives way into our following interview. This is María Trejos Montero. She is a teacher in Costa Rica. She belongs to the Investigation Network, IDEA Network, or Red CEPA, for the Defense of Public Education.